Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing well, melting slightly, but doing okay. Yeah.
This is for season 3, episode 1, No Mass. We have got some information about it first. But what did you think of coming back to this show? I didn't look up the date of when we last did the podcast. I possibly should have done that, but I might do that in a minute. But yeah, after a bit of time away, I know we missed all of last year because we had other shows, which I've already discussed. What did you think?
It was interesting because I was like, oh yeah, we're doing this podcast. I need to go watch that.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me.
I was a bit sort of, getting back into it. There's lots of other stuff on as well. And, you just forget how good this show is. Because you sort of, once you're back into it, you're like, oh, it's that episode. Oh yeah, I remember this. Oh, this is brilliant. you just get drawn back into it. I mean, it's another sort of solid thing to pick it up again. I do love this show. It's so well written. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a great sort of opening start. I'd forgotten how far along the story we'd got at the end of season 2, that we'd had the sort of plane crash and all that. And yeah. It's a really good opening.
I just really love the way, and I remembered this, but just seeing it again, just how Breaking Bad, and I can't think of many other shows that do this. Maybe Better Call Saul did it now and again, but it wasn't really its sort of in its DNA to just give you totally random cold opens and go, hey, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
What do you think of these people crawling along the floor? And, of course, we, know which ones are kind of coming up and that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I just remember when I was first watching the show, and you'd get used to the fact that the show would do it. Because when you first started seeing it, it was like, oh, here's a random, minute scene or so. And then, oh, here's the titles, then back into the totally normal part of the episode. Not many other shows would be able to do that, because you've also got to write. What you've got to do is write a really good scene that makes no sense and is out of context, but fit it, make sure it fits into either that same episode or builds up to it later, like with the teddy bear and that sort of stuff.
So yeah, it even just on that quality alone. But yeah, from writing, certainly from acting as well. From I wouldn't really say structure because you've not got that many characters, so that's not as much of an issue. But pacing, like the 47 minutes kind of flew by. It's just yeah, it's properly top drawer. this is a little bit more of a setup episode, which is fine because it's kind of let's get back. Clearly, some time has passed. Where is everybody? Like, is the accident? Jesse's off in a place. Walt is figuring things out. Who are these two men, you know, that are doing random things? Oh yeah, there's Gus. What's him and Walt up to? And it kind of sets the groundwork. But it's still one of the more entertaining setup episodes. And as the two of us who know where it's going, because the show is nearly 10 years old, actually it's over 10 years old. It's 2008. it's interesting to see kind of the early seeds of certain things as well. So it's absolutely brilliant. Just a little bit of information, and I thought we could do something fun with this as well. So No Mas, Spanish for No More, is the first episode of season 3 of the American television drama series Breaking Bad, written and directed by Vince Gilligan and Bryan Cranston. It aired on AMC on 21st of March 2010. I remember we did this for season 1. I don't remember season 2. Do you remember what you were doing? Not on that exact date, because I can't remember what I was doing on that exact date, but roughly around March 2010. Do you remember what you were doing?
God, March 2010. I honestly have no idea.
What year did you start Geek Town?
Geek Town's been running since 2004, I think, although I wasn't running it full time at that point.
Right.
I didn't start running it full time until 2016. Yeah, I mean, I would have still been working as a web developer, which
Cool.
was my day job. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking back. Of course, and it didn't necessarily go out on that date here.
No, because it was aired all weirdly on Channel 5 and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just looking back at my diary because everything's in there. I
Wow.
went to see Dave Gorman, the comedian, on the couple of weeks before on the 12th, and yeah, so yeah, that's I had no idea what else I was doing other than I was still working as a web developer at the time, so.
I would have been finishing secondary school in my very last year, because
Way to make me
I
feel
think
old, yes.
from summer 2010 to 2013, that was when I was at college, and I left college in 2013. So there was that. So I w obviously that finishes in what, June, July, or something, and I would have been ramping up. Quite a big transition going from school and like who am I not going to see again and that kind of stuff, and like going to a totally different building in, I mean, the college itself and the school weren't that far apart, but it was a longer journey. So there was like a big transition there. I remember going in for the first time and that kind of stuff. It was a little bit intimidating, and there was like a few school friends I'd seen there. I was like, oh, what are you coming here to study, and that sort of stuff. It's one of them transition periods where you kind of lose contact with certain people but meet new people. So it's like who's coming, who's going, that sort of stuff. I also remember, so 2010, for on the football side, Ronaldo left. That was in the better circumstance. It was at that point when, because I think the Glazers took over in 2005, I think it was, and it was a case of like we were lose that sort of 2007, 8, 9 team, which was like really, really good. We'd started to lose a few of those players, and the investment re replacing them wasn't as successful. And I remember we were going for our fourth title in a row, and Chelsea beat us to it. And then we won it the year after, then City won it, then we won it after that. So there's that. But yeah, that was the transition from that to that. And there we go. So.
There's another thing marked in my calendar, actually, I just noticed
Oh, yeah.
on it's slightly later, but April the 3rd was the first appearance of Matt Smith as the Doctor in Doctor Who.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, yes.
Cool. Well, that's it for the pre-talk and everything. Let's get into some housekeeping and then we'll get into the episode. See you in a minute. Oh, before we do that, actually, you should probably explain, because it's to do with you, that we're going to take a few weeks off because you're going away. So what's the situation there?
I'm in America for a month. So we're going to do one episode and then we'll have like a month break and then we'll kind of come back and do some more once I'm back in the UK. Because I'm not entirely sure what I'll have access to when I'm over there in terms of being able to watch episodes and stuff. So
okay, and it's all finished anyway, so it's not like we'll fall behind. I guess what the audience can do in the meantime, obviously they've got tons of podcasts anyway, got Geek Town Radio, all that kind of stuff. I guess if you're just catching us now on the season 3, you can always go back through the 1 and 2 archives and see what we thought of the start of everything. So that's just a suggestion there. But yes, we'll be back after this at some point soon for all that. All right, let's take that break, come back and, do all that stuff. So, all right, recently on Entertainment Talk, I had to put out a video game review yesterday. This is for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I gave it a hard skip rating because it doesn't quite work properly.
Really?
Yeah, still got that performance issue bug, which shouldn't be there. And the performance of it started getting worse, actually. It started stuttering more and that sort of stuff, and it got to a point where it's just distracting from the actual story and everything going on. So I'm not quitting the game. I'm simply putting it down until EA puts out a patch, even though it's been a long time since the game's come out. Hopefully they can fix things soon, because I do want to get back in there and enjoy Cal's story again. So
what are you playing that on?
PS5.
Okay.
Yeah,
the PC version works fine at this point. I mean, it's not optimized amazingly well, and I'm sure there are some people that are going to play, but I've managed to play through the whole story. There is an issue with the bounty hunter plotline, which is completely locked at the moment. That's the only part which is a problem on the PC, but they've managed to fix all the bugs on the PC side, as far as I'm aware anyway. I mean, I managed to get through the whole game, so it's a shame, really. It's one of those things that is a great video game, just horribly buggy, as are a lot of AAA titles when they're released at the moment, which is a whole other discussion.
yeah. So there's that. What else have we got? I put out just a little, I didn't even put a picture with it because I didn't need to, just to say we're back for Breaking Bad, which you are here with us now. Over on the football side of things, with the United cast, I chose to talk about the blue side of Manchester. Manchester City won the treble. But how does it feel? Because it's not a normal situation. They still have their 115 Premier League charges, which I don't think anybody has had that many before. Certainly not in the Premier League, at least. And just kind of going over all of that and talking about how our treble went in 99 and just kind of comparing that situation. This isn't a straightforward, normal sort of win. This is complicated in that sort of way. But talked about how it made me feel and that kind of stuff, how other United fans may have felt, and yeah, talked about all of that there as well. So that is for those of you who don't know, the proper treble, because you can of course win 3 of other trophies, is the Premier League, FA Cup and the Champions League. That's the proper treble. So there's that. Over on Gaming Talk this week, or the week just gone, we talked about the Summer Game Fest, Spider-Man 2 and Alan Wake 2. This week we'll be covering the Starfield stuff, which looked very, very good, the Xbox Showcase, and also the thing that Ubisoft put out as well, so that's what we'll be focusing on tomorrow. Over on Westworld, if you missed us last week, we decided to come back and just close the books, just wrap things up, because that's not coming back. No spin-offs or anything else like that. So, in fact, it got taken off the service for a bit of time, but that's for Westworld, a series wrap-up. Me and David did that. Over on the film review side of things, I went to see The Little Mermaid, the new remake version. I gave it a light must-see, because I very, very much enjoyed that. Also did an FA Cup final review, which, yes, involved Manchester City, a goal within the first 10 seconds. So there was that. Over on the other film reviews side of things, there's been a lot of films recently as well. Possible skip review for Scream 6, very much wanting to enjoy it, but was very frustrated with that. Over on the chat podcast, talked about the Philip Schofield situation, the coronation, which is people wearing very expensive stuff. Also talked about some podcast plans as well. I also did a Premier League review for the season just finished, 22-23. So that was interesting to do as well. And that's what we've been doing on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. In case you missed my update yesterday, I did try to get out to see Spider-Man. And there were some roadworks, which I sat in for 25 minutes and basically decided just to not go because I would have been a good half an hour later to go and see it. So unfortunately, I didn't get out to see that yesterday. And of course, you can't just go to the cinema whenever you want. So it's not like I could have just seen it half an hour late because the screening's already started. So I will try to see that at some point soon. But this weekend, actually, you can go and see it right now, I think. The Flash, finally, after all yes. these years... The series is finished. I finished the show yesterday, which was interesting. But yeah, the entire series has come out before the film has. But yeah, The Flash, the Ezra Miller one, you know, that person. That film is out, and I will plan to see it this weekend. And based on what I've heard, it's going to be a very fascinating experience, to say the least. So anyway, the other little bit of note that I've got from this episode introduces Assassins Marco and Leonel Salamanca. We will talk about those shortly. Where are we here? All right, let's talk about the cold open. Leonel and Marco Salamanca make a pilgrimage to a Mexico shrine to Santa Marit, I think, making an offering and leaving a drawing of Heisenberg at the shrine. Again, it's very weird. It's very just kind of matter of fact. You have a bunch of people crawling around. It's interesting that because the episode opens, you see some random person crawling, and then there's another group of people. They then get out of a car, which they are then standing up, then decide in their full suit and nice fancy looking shoes to join them and crawl along the floor. I don't remember if or when it's explained why they crawled specifically, but there you go. They crawled towards the shrine, all of them. And it's a shrine with Heisenberg on it. So I can't remember because it didn't get explained in this episode. I actually can't remember what the explanation for this is, if there is actually one. Although I think most of the cold opens get explained. So, but I remember because sometimes I was trying to think back to like when I first watched this and what I was thinking and feeling, and it was just strange. But I remember when I think it was the summer of 2014 where I watched this whole series as back to back. I wasn't watching much else at the time. Yeah, it's one that sticks out certainly. What do you think of the cold open?
Yeah, it is a classic kind of weird Breaking Bad cold open that. And I don't think it is actually it's explained in the show. I mean, it's a religious thing. It's mm-hmm. They have explained sort of outside of the show. I think. I think it's a sort of, you know, it's what they do as a sort of deference to the god of death, which is what the shrine represents. But I don't think it's ever actually explained in the show. It's one of those weird ones that doesn't... It's a cold open that doesn't really get a payoff, I don't think.
I don't think it needs one in the same way of a teddy bear. No. Teddy bear is like, okay, why is there a teddy bear in Walt's pool and what's it got to do with anything? At least with this, I suppose it's like, okay, you know who Heisenberg is.
Yeah.
And you could kind of guess a little bit from there. So, but one that is memorable. So.
So it's the saint that is the saint of death, and it's worshipped by drug traffickers because it doesn't differentiate between requests that are good or evil. And they show deference to it by kind of crawling towards it. So but as I say, I don't think any of that is ever explained directly in the show, which a lot of the cold opens are. They're sort of weird but make sense later on in the context of it, you know. So it was an interesting choice, that one.
Mm-hmm. A week after the mid-air plane collision, so with a little bit of a time frame, all of Albuquerque remains in shock. Depressed Walter White is living in his home alone following the departure of Skylar, who has moved out with their son and newborn daughter. Remember, Holly's been born. To give Walt a chance to pack his things, Walt has pieced together that David Marigold inadvertently caused the plane crash. After being distracted by his own grief over his daughter's Jane's death, remorseful, he burns several bundles of money on the barbecue, but at last moment changes his mind and throws the bills into the pool. While helping Walt to transport his belongings to a new apartment, Hank lifts the bag containing the money Walt obtained with his deal with Gus Fring. Walt openly admits the existence of the money, but Hank laughs it off, believing it to be a joke. Wonder what he would have done if he'd opened the bag.
I mean, it's a ballsy thing to do.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no reason, but I mean, it's one of those things that it's perfectly believable that Hank wouldn't actually have looked in the bag, because, you know, you're helping your friend move. You go, well, what you got in here? Breeze blocks, I think he said, or, you know, cinder blocks.
That's usually when characters have, like, let's say they're trying to carry anything like money or guns or whatever, and another character happens to pick it up, they usually do say something like, oh, have you got a load of bricks in here or something? It's usually what happens.
And if you think about that as a real life situation, you wouldn't, if you were helping a mate move and we pick up a bag that was heavy, you might make a joke about sort of, oh, what you got in here? Bricks. But you're not then going to open the bag and like rifle through it. You know, it's just, you wouldn't invade somebody's privacy like that. So the fact that he then makes this supposed joke about, you know, I've got $500,000 in there, and Hank of course laughs it off, because why wouldn't you? Because why would I, high school science teacher, have $500,000 in a bag? It's it plays really well, actually. I do rather like that sequence. It makes sense. And the sort of whole montage thing of them sort of going through, you know, this is sort of the time skipping stuff of the montage of them going through talking about the plane crash and then revealing, you know, that it was the air traffic controller and who he is and all that sort of stuff. And that I think plays through quite well. It's quite a nice bit of sort of exposition of getting up to, you know, this point where Walt's obviously feeling incredibly guilty. Bryan Cranston did actually set himself on fire doing that. I mean, obviously he was protected by stunt stuff, but he was literally on fire when they actually did that. That wasn't special effects. That was actually a stunt.
I didn't actually think about that at all. I don't know why. But yeah. I think it's interesting you see some different sides to Walt here, of like, the scene kind of starts off with him not caring, like he's lost, you know, his family basically, and what's he going to do about his money and that sort of stuff, and just thinks, oh, I'm just going to burn it. And then there's the flick in his mind of like, no, I shouldn't do that, and then tries to salvage it, which some of that you could have salvaged. It would have been okay, and obviously put some of it in the bag anyway. And then so you see like the change there from, not really, not overconfident, but they're definitely sort of just not having a care and then just going to burn the money, and then the panic. And then when he goes to speak to Hank, it's kind of, it's almost like he's testing him a little bit, because he's like trying to see if he will engage him about the money, if he jokes about money, if he will engage him with it. There's also like a bit of a moment before when they're packing stuff, Walt is kind of back to that sort of, all right, packing these bags, and sort of he's got the bit of that carefree body language and stuff. And then it's only when the question about the bag comes up that he sort of switches back a little bit. I think we've talked a few times on this about kind of the and we did the same thing with Better Call Saul, with obviously Jimmy, Gene, and Saul, when all those character changes were happening, and like what, not mode, but what sort of state these two characters were in, because obviously they're the lead characters of the two shows, and particularly with Walt going from, you know, Walt to Heisenberg, and kind of, you know, because the story is about this guy who gets in some, let's say, some bad luck, and then finds an opportunity and then kind of gets carried away with that opportunity. And you see a little bit of that later as well with Skylar, but it's some pretty good character stuff. So, and Hank is just good old Hank in mm-hmm. these scenes. So, all very good. Once in his new apartment, Walt calls to give his family his new address. He later receives a text message reading Apollos, obviously for the restaurant, at a school assembly. Walt becomes agitated as both teachers and students open up about the traumas they experienced due to the plane collision. When prompted to share his thoughts, he delivers an awkward speech comparing the accident to the
Tenerife.
That's right. Yeah. Airport disaster, disturbing the assembled audience by advising them to look on the bright side. Yeah, it was an interesting one. Again, kind of, he doesn't want to speak, and when other people are speaking, he has this mixture of kind of, he's not quite sure what to do. Like, you can see that look on his face. Then other people start talking about just normal kind of, oh, I'm, you know, sleeping badly, and, you know, the things you'd kind of expect those people to say. And he does a bit of eye rolling and a bit of kind of, he's maybe thinking like, okay, let's kind of just get this over with, and he wants to just, he doesn't really want to be there, and then gets prompted to speak. Gets a bit carried away with things, I suppose. So, it's an interesting one. With the text, again, that's kind of he's in his apartment, he's just kind of going through the motions, then get this Polaris text, and he has a bit of a moment of thinking, like, okay, what can I do with all that and everything, maybe? And then is thinking, and then kind of, he does just put it away, doesn't he? And he thinks about it later. So, again, some very interesting stuff from all. In this scene, there isn't as many as the other characters, but there you go. What do you think?
The school scene's kind of interesting, and, you know, well, Brian plays it so wonderfully because he's so uncomfortable. Side note, that there's very much a family stuff going on in that scene as well, because Taylor Cranston, who is Brian's daughter, plays a character called Sad Faced Girl, who I think is in that assembly scene. There is also Emotional Woman, which is played by Robin Dearden, who is Brian Cranston's wife. And Holly Rice, who is Vince Gilligan's wife, is also one of the teachers in that scene.
Oh, wow.
So they just kind of, it's like packed it full of relatives, by the looks of things. But the scene itself, it is really awkward with the way Walt is kind of talking about, oh, you just need to kind of, you know, get over it and look on the bright side sort of thing. And I mean, there is a certain amount of that, I guess, with, yes, they are going to be affected by it. You know, and it is, some of them have seen some really horrific things. I mean, one of the kids talks about how, you know, finding a seat with the legs still in it and that sort of stuff. So, I mean, unquestionably, they have seen some horrible things, but they're all are also, you can sort of see his point of view of like, well, don't go wallowing in it. You know, you didn't personally know anybody on the plane. You know, nobody died on the ground, and he tries to make that sort of point as well. Just look on the bright side, and it is a sort of awkward speech, but he does also make some reasonable points in it as well, I think.
I think what probably didn't help was like, oh yeah, statistically this and statistically that, and everyone
exactly.
was like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, this was still bad, and like, So, it's kind of nice, somewhat, to know that. I don't know what the exact halfway point of the series would be, but he's still got that kind of awkward side in him, and the Heisenberg mm-hmm. hasn't sort of completely taken over yet, because you'll know later on in the series when it has. So that was good to see. Skylar speaks to a divorce lawyer about making her separation from Walt permanent, but hesitates when the attorney mentions the possibility of uncovering money Walt may have hidden. After being given a ride home from school by his father, Walt Jr., or Flynn, argues with both his parents and expresses his anger towards Skylar, who refuses to give him an explanation. She also refuses when asked by her sister Marie. Finally, she confronts Walt, presenting him with divorce papers. When she accuses him of being a drug dealer, Walt admits to being a methamphetamine cook. Skylar storms off in horror, pleading that she will not expose his secret to his children and Hank if he grants her divorce. I couldn't remember the exact scene where she does get it confirmed for her.
Mm-hmm.
That because you see a lot in season one and two of like, oh, he's hiding something. What is he hiding? And then he has that episode.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember it happening like this. And I kind of was looking at a scene and thinking, I was a bit surprised that it did happen this way, because I was kind of thinking, like, could he have skirted around this, like, one more time or something? Or was it Walt thinking, okay, she probably does know, and I should just tell her? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know. This was definitely the scene of, like, okay, she definitely knows, and I'm just going to tell her. But that's sort of how Walt came across. Because she says, like, oh, is it marijuana or something? And he goes, no, it's methamphetamine. I don't know. Just don't know that he... I'm not saying it's a bad scene. It's a great, great scene. But Walt's decision, I thought, was just interesting. Yeah, what did you think of, like, him admitting it here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he sort of kind of had to come clean. And what's funny is the way that Skylar kind of goes, you know, what is it? You know, like, I think she says cocaine. And he kind of goes, no, it's methamphetamine, and I'm not a dealer. I'm a cook, as though that's somehow better. Mm. You know?
You're not, though. You're basically the kingpin.
Yeah, and then he does kind of backtrack slightly and goes, well, I'm not really a dealer. Well, yeah, and he sort of like ums and ahs a bit about it, and it's like, you're really not helping your case here, I don't think. You know, she's not going to go, oh, well, that's fine. If you're only cooking meth, you know, you're not dealing it. That's fine. Mm. You know, it is quite an interesting scene between the pair of them. And it sets up this interesting dynamic as well that Skylar now knows, so she has something she can hold over Walt as well. So, yeah, it's sort of an interesting setup for things moving forward now that she kind of definitely actually knows.
Mm. I wonder from her point, because she doesn't, and I understand why, she doesn't give him any of the benefit of the doubt and, like, sit down with him and say, how did this happen? Why? Like, she doesn't ask any questions. But you understand why, because of, like, what's happened and how he's lied to her, and this is kind of the nail in that coffin. So yeah, I understood that from her part as well, of like not actually asking, because maybe she'll do it later or something, but yeah, not asking any kind of questions as to why it's happening and that kind of stuff. But I just thought that was, yeah, kind of interesting that this is the one where he tells her. But again, maybe he just got the feeling of, okay, she probably knows, like, can just,
well, yeah, and it's, yeah, how long can you hide this as well?
I suppose so, yeah. So, and it might come out worse later or something.
Yeah.
So
I think it's better just, you know, and he's at the point where he's trying to be open and honest with her just because, you know, she's already threatening to leave him anyway. So it's probably, at this point, what has he got to lose by actually telling her the truth? And he's also feeling guilty about the plane crash, which is... certainly in a reasonable part his fault. I mean, not entirely, because she didn't have to take the drugs in the first place. But yeah, he certainly, you know, could have saved her, and it did massively contribute to it. So, you know, he's feeling guilty about that, and he's already lost his family. Yes, she could turn him in, but he's hedging on the fact that she probably won't, and he's right. And it makes sense that he would tell her at that point.
Hmm. Yeah. So what do you think of the deal? That, okay, if you agree to the divorce, I'll keep quiet. Which they don't agree or actually disagree on. It's just kind of left there on the table.
Well,
as an option.
Yeah, this put Skylar in a very good position, because she can basically hold that over him.
Hmm. Yeah, the papers are still there for him to deal with. So,
yes.
yeah.
I can't actually remember exactly how that goes.
Neither can I. I guess we shall all discover that together.
That's the thing I rather like about doing this rewatch is, as much as I love the show, there are bits of the story I don't quite remember because
yeah.
I binged through it like you did in with for a number of seasons. Not all of them, the later ones I watched as they went out, but for some of the earlier seasons, I kind of binged through them in one go. So it's difficult to remember exactly how the plot went and, you know, specific points. So I can't remember exactly what happened with the divorce papers and where they ended up, but yeah. It does put Skylar in an interesting position.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I agree. That's what's good about doing this is I remember obviously the big things and like the overall show, but there's certain like moments and parts of it to glue all that together that I don't quite remember all of it, because this is my third, I can't remember what yours is, but this is my third time through the show.
It's yeah, I might only be my second for some of it. I have rewatched some bits of it previously, but I think it's probably only my second time actually going through the whole thing.
Cool. Walt's former business partner, Jesse, is in rehab trying to overcome his drug addiction, so that's where he is, and come to terms with his girlfriend Jane's death. Expressing his own self-loathing and guilt, during one session, the group leader confesses that high on cocaine on a birthday of his that occurred a decade earlier, he ran over and killed his own daughter in his pickup truck while desperately trying to reach vodka at a liquor store. He follows us up by saying that hating oneself is only an impediment to moving on, so a blockage in the way he sort of sees it as. Yeah, this is quite a sad story. I think he said, like, you know, the store closed at 5, it was 4:42 or something. He gives like very specific details, and his daughter was in the driveway, and he wanted that next hit, which I suppose is what this addiction thing is all about. I didn't mean that like a bad way or anything, but that's kind of, you know, one of the factors. I myself have got no kind of, whether it's through myself or somebody I know, I don't really have a lot of like education and history on things like addiction. Well, I've got no history on it at all, like education and stuff on addiction. So, which is something that's going to keep coming up a bit in the show, because, you know, it is about, you know, the drug cartel business and that kind of thing. I mean, I've already seen certain things like, right, what how Tuco ends up, for example, when he's taking all of his drugs and stuff. So yeah, obviously this is his story and all that. It's quite sad, but I mean, yeah, it's different per person, of course, in terms of, okay, because you have to, from one of the things I understand slightly about addiction, again, it depends what it is exactly and who it is that's dealing with it. You can't just, once you're like addicted to something like that, you can't just stop, because your body may actually have like reactions to it. You have to, I think the phrase is wean yourself off of it, like have some of what you're addicted to, but like cut down the amount. I think that's supposed to sort of help. That's at least things that I've heard anyway.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing with this is when he's telling that story, he actually says, he makes the point that the cocaine wasn't a problem because, you know, he had enough cocaine for the weekend, you know, for his birthday weekend party. What he hadn't got was the vodka. And it's actually the vodka that he goes out for. It's the alcohol that he goes out for. And, you know, I have no experience of, you know, hard drug addiction, but certainly with addiction to alcohol, it's the same with things like cigarettes. Those, although those are the legal things, they can be some of the hardest things to actually get off because it's prevalent everywhere. You know, particularly with something like alcohol, because it's seen as a social norm to kind of go out and drink. So it's all over the place. With something like alcohol, it can be more difficult to kind of kick that. And it does still have an, obviously it's alcohol, it has an addictive quality. So I found that quite interesting, that what he was saying was he was okay with the cocaine because he had enough of a supply for that, but it was the alcohol that drove him to, that took him to actually go and get in the car, and that desperation to go and get that, which does make perfect sense, you know, and people will make stupid decisions when they're addicted to stuff. So
yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, no, I kind of understand and agree. So there we go with that. But yeah, that's his story and everything. Obviously, we saw what happened with Jesse. But I'm kind of glad that, because he only stays here. I don't remember him going back to this rehab place.
No, I didn't remember him being there in the first place, to be honest.
I remember the group leader guy, and I remembered his story, but I didn't actually remember those two things happening in the same episode.
Yeah.
But apparently all of it did, but in terms of like pacing and things, I mean, I know you've got 13 episodes, but yeah, it's kind of good that, because I wouldn't want this to be dragged out for, I mean, maybe two at the most. Maybe one episode you see Jesse in there, and then in the next one it's him coming out or something. But I'm kind of glad they wrapped it up all in one, because in terms of for like Walt and Jesse's empire to kind of keep going, you do need the character there. So yeah, I didn't remember exactly how that went or how long he was in there, but apparently it was just the one. So so there was all that. Walt picks up Jesse and takes him to his apartment. It's amazing to me, because you see like some of this apartment, and obviously I don't know if it's like a set or how this is put together. You'd be surprised what is a set and what actually kind of isn't at some points. Yeah, American just apartments, houses, they're always bigger than what they need to be. I mean, this is what, like a one-bedroom place, I think? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks like a sort of just a one-bedroom apartment, fairly simple one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, there's loads of space. I've seen one-bedroom places over here, and they're a lot more cramped than what that is.
That is generally the case.
Yeah.
With America as well, it tends to be the further west you get, the bigger the housing and the apartments are, because there's more land.
Okay.
It's one of those things. If you actually look at East Coast, like New York, New York's much more like London in the fact that everything's very tight packed together, because that's where people first settled and that's how they built things around there. And they didn't have, you know, they hadn't expanded out west. So it's more tightly condensed around that coast. And then as you get further west in America, there's much more land. So the houses get bigger and they expand out a lot more. And that sort of vibe has continued quite a lot with slightly less so these days when you look at places like Los Angeles, purely because of the cost of things, you know, because like an apartment like that in Los Angeles now would probably cost you $750,000, you know. So it's just because the prices are so ridiculous, they tend to be a bit smaller these days. But yeah, I mean, it is true that generally the houses are quite a lot bigger.
Cool. So yeah, they're both back at the apartment. Jesse expresses remorse over the events that led to the mid-air collision. Walt tells him he's not responsible for what happened, but Jesse calmly insists that he's learned not to shy away from who he really is, which is the bad guy. That's Jesse's sort of takeaway, which was very interesting. Yeah, there isn't loads that happens there, but it is still quite, like, you know, important and everything. I can't remember what exactly this does to Jesse's character. I remember how he ends up and that sort of thing, but this, like, particular part. Because it's interesting from that point of view, because, okay, he had the addiction thing, but he's gonna go back into a drug type business, which is helping cook it and then obviously selling it. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens to his character after this, 'cause I can't remember exactly what this meant for him. What did you think of the bad guy line?
Yeah, it is interesting with Jesse because I was just said the whole thing with this story is you take Walter White, who ostensibly was, a perfectly decent, upstanding chemistry teacher, and his descent into a bad person. And Jesse is kind of the opposite of that, of somebody who really starts out as a bad person, but his heart's in the right place, and he is, and yes, he's done bad things, but he is sort of trying to go in the opposite way. He's trying to be a better person where Walt really isn't. So that they're sort of passing each other. And it's interesting with Jesse that there is obviously, this obviously has a change because he blames himself for the death of Jane, even though, again, it was her decision to take the drugs in the first place. But the fact that she was there doing drugs with him and he was influential in that, he blames himself for it, which is understandable. I mean, he is partly to blame for that. I seem to remember that some of the resolution of that, but later on, and what that does to Jesse and Walt's relationship. But yeah, it's interesting to see where he is at this point, and given that he's recognized himself as the bad guy, what decisions he then makes. Does he lean into that, or does he try to better himself? And I can't remember exactly. I mean, we know where he ends up, but I can't remember exactly where he goes from immediately from this point.
There you go. Inspired by this, Walt visits Gus at Los Pollos Hermanos and tells him of his decision to get out of the meth business. Gus presents an offer to Walt to make $3 million for 3 months, so $1 million per month. Walt briefly reconsiders, but ultimately refuses. In one of the most professional drug conversations ever. I love the 'cause you've had a few scenes here in Los Pollos where Gus will have to act like he's just the manager speaking to a customer, right? And he puts on the classic Gus smile. I love it as well when you get certain scenes with Gus when he's sort of got that smile on him and he's talking to whoever, and then he has that like turn. That's
Yeah.
it's if Gus is such a good character, and of course, Sean Carlos Esposito can't go wrong, never gonna go wrong. He's one of them actors that even if you put him in something really bad, he might not elevate the whole film or show or whatever, but you'll be able to at least rely that he'll do a good performance with even if his lines and his script is bad in like let's say a random film or something. He'll still find a way to be great with him, whatever that is. He's one of those types of actors. It's curious to see this happen. It's both this and the bad guy line from Jesse, where okay, we both know like how this continues after, but I can't remember how he goes back to Gus. So that's going to be interesting to see. But yeah. I did get a small sense of surprise from Gus because I think he thought that Walt was gonna do this maybe. I mean, th 3 million for what he does, and Gus is obviously very confident. But I also think by the end of the conversation, because I think there's two parts for Gus in this conversation. One where he sort of proposes the offer and he thinks he seems a little bit somewhat surprised that he doesn't take it. But I actually think by the end of that conversation, it feels to me like Gus is thinking, oh, he's going to come back at some point, which this wasn't a sort of, no, I'm out of the business, I'll never see you again. N neither of them really say, I'm not going to see you again. It's just, we're going to agree to not do this deal that you've just put on the table because I've come to you to say I'm out of this business. You've offered me something. I've said no. You've somewhat said that's okay and agree, but there's no sort of goodbye in that. So it gives a bit of a hint as to Walt going back. But yeah, that's a lot of money to turn down. So it's interesting, just on a little bit of a side note, it's interesting to see him getting offered that. And there's at the moment this thing going on in football, because the Saudis and Qatar teams have got a lot of money. There's a bunch of these players who are like 30 years and over who have been offered like 2, 3, 4 million a week to go there for like 2 years. Because as some of you may know, Ronaldo's now on 2 million a week at Al Nassr. And Benzema's just gone over to one of them teams and he's getting like 3.8 million a week. It's just, so it's kind of thinking about that within all this. It's it was kind of interesting. So much money. But these are players at like 32, 33, 34 and over. So it's not a case of them building for their future. It's just about getting big stars. But anyway.
Self-t-shirts.
Yeah, kit. Apparently. What do you think of the discussion of the deal here?
It's a genius bit of acting by Giancarlo.
All the acting's good.
I mean, all the acting's good, but there is one particular moment by Giancarlo in this.
Oh.
If you watch that scene back again, when he finally says no, when Walt finally says no, there is a very, very, very subtle, very quick look of anger, flash of anger on Giancarlo's face. And then he turns it into a smile. And it's really subtle, but it's such a this beautiful little bit of micro acting. And it's one of the reasons I love him so much. It's that fact that character is so measured and Giancarlo plays it so well. But there are little slight moments, if you look for them, that it slips literally for a second, if that, and then he's back and the mask goes back on. But there is, if you watch that little sequence, there is this tiny bit where his face changes very slightly and then suddenly goes into the smile. And thanks him and sort of shakes his hand and says something about it's been good to work with you and walks away. It's just a beautiful bit of acting, and the entire conversation I think is well done. And they're treating it as Walt always wanted. He wanted this to be like a business, and Gus is very much like that, which of course all brings him back to it, because 3 million for 3 months is an incredibly attractive offer, particularly as we know what this leads to and the setup that this leads to. So
yeah,
and obviously we know that he's going to do it, because otherwise the show would have ended there and Walt would have gone back to being a chemistry teacher. So I just, that scene, I mean, I love Gus as a character, but Giancarlo's just an incredible actor, and that just, as I say, that there's just this little bit of micro acting. It's very, very subtle, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I suppose that's what happens when you have a top director, a top writer, two very good actors, very top class actors, and you put that together, and it works.
Find it hilarious. Yeah. The first place I saw Giancarlo actually on screen, because he was in Homicide: Life on the Streets with an NBC show, which I didn't see. First place I saw him was Once Upon a Time, where he played the Magic Mirror, which is that sort of ABC fantasy series set in the sort of fairy tale world.
It's like slightly alternate thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And that was the first thing. It was set in this sort of, what if you took all the fairy tale characters and dumped them in this village in the real world sort of idea. And he played the Magic Mirror in that. And that was the first thing I ever saw him in. And to go, and you wouldn't, he was lovely and wonderful in that, but you would never get, realize the level and quality and talent of his acting purely from that performance. I mean, it's fine, but, I just find it really funny that that's the first thing I saw him in, and then look at all the stuff he's done now.
It's interesting that you mentioned the little moment that you spoke about, and you think of, because we already talked about the Walt Heisenberg thing and the whole Jimmy Jean Soul thing. Although Gus kind of does have that, he's never referred to as something different. He's always Gus Fring, but it's who he's around. Because when he's around his cartel people and whatnot, the more serious side comes out. But when it's like, oh, someone's come for a, one of them chats, it's back to sort of smiley, happy business Gus that has got nothing to hide. But yeah, there's. Because there isn't really like a dual. Because with the other two, there is kind of dual personalities. With Gus, it's not really. It's to more just
It's no, I
changing his
mean,
attitude around who
yeah,
he's.
Gus. With Gus is always Gus, but he has a mask which he wears, which is the person who is the like guy that runs the chicken shop, and that's the mask that he wears. But Gus is still Gus underneath that, whereas the others, there is an evolution to those characters. They go from one thing that, as I say, goes from being this chemistry teacher to being the drug lord, goes from being sort of, Jesse goes from being this sort of dropout junkie to sort of try and improve himself. But with Gus, Gus is always Gus. It's just he has a very good mask that he wears most, when he's out in public to protect himself. So yeah, you're right. I mean, he is a character that doesn't ostensibly change in terms of, I mean, there is character development there and it's beautifully played, but as a character, he kind of knows who he is, I think, for most of it.
Just one more scene. Meanwhile, the Salamanca twins cross into the US from Mexico in hidden in the back of a truck in search of Heisenberg. Another migrant discovers their affiliation with the Juarez cartel. They kill their fellow passengers and the driver of the truck before blowing it up. These guys don't like transport. They like to walk and blow up their transport because they could have very easily just killed all those people and just drove off with the truck. Yeah, the look in this guy's face when, because he's saying, like, oh, I'm going to cross this border and like do this work and all this kind of stuff. And I can't remember the significance of the skull on their shoes, but that's what gets him to be like, oh, right.
I
He
know who
look, he
you are.
looks, he looks down,
Yeah.
and sees those, and that's when that flips. And then, because you don't see them all getting shot, but obviously they all do. You see a slight camera angle of all them being dead, but yeah. I kind of like how weird these characters are, and I remember watching this for the first time and kind of being fascinated by the two of these. I can't remember if they. We do have a question about them in a minute, actually, so I'll save a bit of it for that. I was gonna say about if they talk or not, but we get asked that question in a minute.
Right.
It's kind of I laughed at it a little bit more this time. Okay, so you've got the petrol thing, you shoot that, and then you set it on fire. It's kind of a waste of because you don't need to shoot that part of it.
No, it made sense to me. I mean, because he shoots it to release the petrol, so they can blow it up. And they kind of do want to blow it up because they want to destroy the evidence of the fact that they shot up a load of bodies. So that's the
But
reason why
if
they
you
do
set
it.
that thing on fire, it would pro because there's all the hay and everything like that, and I'm assuming that
Well,
would,
yeah, okay. You could have probably just, you probably didn't
The hay
necessarily
is the
need to
thing
do
that's gonna cause
I
the
mean,
problem because it's gonna spread really badly.
the only thing is you probably wanted to, it gives you a bit of an accelerant, and also, if there's a pool of it on the floor, it gives you a bit of time to walk away and have it blow up behind you.
They didn't seem
Interesting.
to be at all bothered either by like. Okay, will this fire catch it? Because when he throws the match down, he's quite close to that vehicle,
Yeah, no,
so
I
that's
thought that as well.
great.
There is a little bit of background about the shooting of that scene. The footage of the explosion was actually filmed from from a distance using a long focus lens. But the effect, the way that they shot it shallows the perspective of it. So it makes the explosion appear a lot closer to the actors than it actually really was, because they did seem very close when they were walking away, but it's the way that they shot in the camera. But they did actually blow up a truck, so it was all done in one take. It's something that I don't know whether you'd actually be allowed to do these days, because I
Really?
know certainly not unless you'd done it on a back lot somewhere, because they were clearly out in a field somewhere. And I know certainly shooting in Los Angeles, having spoken to people that do coordinate stunts and things, pretty much anywhere within Los Angeles, you are not allowed to set fires, obviously, because they have enough problems with things like being on fire on their own in Los Angeles. And I guess it's the same in places like New Mexico, you would think as well, because they have a huge problem in on the west coast of the US with wildfires. So anything like that can, that they tend to get a little bit upset about, unless it's in a controlled environment of a studio backlot. So anytime you see, like on something like 911, you see fires, all that's putting digitally. What they're actually using when an explosion goes off is they're using what they call dust cannons, which are cannons that shoot dust. So that's what you see. That's actually physically there. So there is something that they can kind of follow, but the explosion itself is all added on digitally because they're not allowed to actually use flames, just in case something goes slightly off and it ends up blowing up, and ends up setting fire to something that then gets wildly out of control. I mean, you hear all these stories of people doing gender reveal things and suddenly burn down like 20 acres of land and that sort of stuff. They've because they've set off fireworks to for a gender reveal party or something like that. There's been things like that. So they're very, very, very careful about where you're allowed to set fires over there. So I don't know whether you'd even be allowed to do that now unless it's done on a back lot.
Is that one of them? What would the so would the fireworks be for like a blue or a pink thing or?
So they've had things like that, or
Can't
whether
you do the classic pop the balloon thing?
Well, yes, that was the thing. But there has been cases, I think, of, I mean, maybe an urban myth, but I think there have been cases where somebody's like done a gender reveal thing and it's burned down half a forest, so they are, but they are very careful about, where you're allowed to set fires over there. So I don't know whether you'd even be allowed to get away with that, because that was clearly done in the middle of a very large field.
Speaking of 911 and Lone Star, go and watch those shows. They're very, very good.
They are.
And Angela Bassett's in one of them, so can't go wrong with her either. Has she ever had a scene with Giancarlo? Because that would be quite the
I
talent on
don't
screen.
know, actually.
So I can't think of, because she's obviously in Black Panther versus in 911. The only one of the ways they could do that maybe is if Queen Ramonda, which is her Black Panther character name, met up with Giancarlo, who was playing somebody who's a Marvel character, maybe Doctor Doom. I don't know. It'd just be cool to, I just like to see talent on screen together, so that would be very good. That's the end of the episode. We'll see where everybody goes next. So Skylar and Flynn and Holly, yeah, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, they're in one place. Hank is doing his Hank thing. Gus and Walt have temporarily agreed to part ways. He's back with Jesse, and we'll see where these two cousins end up. All right, let's get on some feedback and whatnot if you
Hang on,
want.
oh, before you get to that, you asked about Giancarlo
Angela
and
Bassett.
Alan Jolla Bassett. There is a 2008 movie called Gospel Hill, where which was actually directed by Giancarlo, and Angela Bassett was the lead character, and Giancarlo was an actor in it as well. So I presume the 2008 film Gospel Hill is they may have a scene together in there.
Well, if you put them both in something and don't have them have a scene, then you've made a mistake. So,
Yes, but then he was the director of it as well, so it would be his mistake if that was the case.
Interesting. All
Yes,
right.
carry on.
Matthew at entertainmentalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, and his information in your show notes. Jack writes in and says, "Quite enjoyed this premiere quite a lot. First time viewer of the show too. With Walt saying no to Gus, I wonder who he'll deal with next." You know, there's going to be some of these questions that we can't answer.
Yes.
Like if someone says, hey, does Walt die? Probably not in the next episode, no.
No.
So, we'll have a show, but, then. You will very likely see Gus again, but we will not tell you as to where and why. But, because, again, like you kind of did say earlier, if Walt agrees to just, like, I'm out of this business and not do thing anymore, and then let's say Jesse comes around and he says no more with him, then yeah, the show would have ended.
Yeah,
because yeah, there wouldn't be in Heisenberg. So that's the best we can give you for that. Haley says, glad you put the coming back podcast together in the feed. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known you were coming back. I kind of thought of it last minute because we'd mentioned it on Westworld. I hadn't put anything out on Twitter, and putting it on the site and on the podcast feeds, just plus it sort of, particularly because obviously the Entertainment Talk one gets used all the time because everything goes in there, but with the Breaking Bad one we wouldn't have used that since, because I usually with our best and worst podcasts I put all those in all the feeds just because it's like everything, even for shows that are finished I put those in there to kind of like bring that back up as well, so when you go to check your podcast feeds you go, oh, the Breaking Bad thing's here. That would hopefully prompt you to know we're coming back. So that's good. Yeah, wouldn't have known you'd come back to this podcast. How long do you think it'll take you to finish BB? I'm assuming you mean Breaking Bad and not something like Big Brother, because we will not be podcasting on Big Brother. Unless somebody puts in a Patreon request.
Well, you're doing that on your own. I'm offended that Big Brother is even back on my screen in the first place.
I forgot about that until the other day. It's been a while since we've heard anything about that, but anyway, that's enough about Big Brother. We don't, nobody quite needs that. How long do you think it'll take to finish? So we'll do season 3 this year. Obviously we're going to, David's going to be away for a bit, but we finished by roughly the end of October or so.
Yeah.
Cause September 7th was the date I originally had. We pushed that forward a few weeks. Probably won't do season 4 this year because there's no way we'd cram that in and there's no reason for us to. Next year we've got House of Dragons, possibly. Is that affected by the writer's strike?
I don't think so. I think they're still filming.
Okay.
I think they're still filming because the scripts were all written and approved and they don't generally make changes on the fly for that show, from what J.R.R. Martin said, because the scripts go backwards and forwards between them and HBO and stuff, and everybody has to sign off on them, and so the scripts are locked for it, and they generally don't change things on the day, and there's not much ad-libbing and stuff in there, so I think they should be okay filming that, and it doesn't film in the US, it films in Ireland, so it's probably all right.
Next year. Westworld's finished, Better Call Saul's finished. I know we've mentioned this a dozen times, but it still isn't resolved. At some point AMC is gonna put their shows back on our screens. So yes, there's that.
Should mention actually, if you're seeing rumors about Walking Dead Dead City is coming to Disney Plus UK, it isn't. There have been things flying around about that, and it's not. So
we'd take that as an option.
I would be very happy if that was the case, but unfortunately it isn't. I've had that confirmed by Disney Plus. They don't have it. So, I just wished somebody else did. Yeah, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got that. Next year our main thing will be House of Dragon, because Last of Us won't be until 2025. The good thing about that is the game is done, so they don't have to write too much new stuff. It's just about adding certain things and changing certain things to adapt to the show. That's some of the stuff we'll be doing. And there'll be shows that will come back and new shows and that kind of thing. So how long will it take to finish Breaking Bad? We could possibly do season 4 next year. Q1, Q2 would be House of the Dragon, and then maybe Q3 or 4 could be Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's thinking like a year in advance. And then I guess the same thing could apply for 2025 if Last of Us is like either mid, late or early 2025 we could do. We'll also have to decide as well, because seasons, I think 2, 3, and 4 are 13 episodes. Season 5 is 16 episodes. Some people always argue about, is it season 5 and 6 because they're split into two? I always counted it as 5A and 5B, like what The Walking Dead used to do. Because you have 8 episodes, then it went off for, what, a year? And then it came back. There's a very distinct sort of particular cliffhanger, and it goes away. As to whether we, because 8 is obviously less than 13 or 16, as to, and it would depend on when and the calendar and all that kind of stuff, if we continue straight through, but then that's putting 16 weeks on it, or if we do 8 and 8, but we'll figure that out once I'm in my 30s. So, yeah, we'll figure that out at a later point. But that could be somewhat of a plan at the moment. We'll do this year, next year it'll be House of Dragon and Season 4, and then the year after that will be Last of Us and a portion of Season 5. I think we'll aim for that for now, but we still have the rest of time in between that to figure out. Any thoughts on like the plans for that kind of stuff, or how do you think that might go?
No, I mean, you know, whenever you're ready to do more, I will come and do more. So, you know.
Cool. Nice. And who knows, might have, you know, by the time 2025 gets here, we might have some new shows, or there might be another Walking Dead spin-off, and it might be on BT.
Yes, it might somewhere in the UK would be nice. Yeah.
Anyway, there's that. Sam asked lastly, said, well, these two are an interesting pair. Can/do they talk? Do they talk at any point? Because they're in Better Call Saul as well, because that takes place before this. So, do they talk? I can't remember if they talk. I can't even remember if they do any, like, grunting or anything. Because you've got certain characters in TV, if I can think of a few of them. Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. Daryl. Those sorts of characters that... Geralt does it a few times as well. Those kind of characters that are a little bit more on the quieter side, but can definitely speak up when the occasion comes around. Because Daryl can certainly, like, give some lines and, you know, speak his mind. But those kind of characters that are a little bit more on the quieter side at points, but do a lot of grunting. Roy Kent does it in Ted Lasso. We've seen Daryl do it a few times. Although Geralt will sometimes just go, fuck. And then, like, do it in a sort of grunty way and then just kind of walk off. That's kind of what Geralt does sometimes. I can't remember if they even do that. Because even during this whole thing, they give looks to each other and they give looks and all that kind of stuff. But I can't remember if any noises come out of them. What do you think of the cousins?
I mean, I think they're intentionally...
I think they can talk, I just don't think they do.
Yeah, they intentionally don't. I think there are... just looking it up, I believe in the entirety of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, I think they speak 5 times, according to what I've just looked up.
5?
But they're literally like 2 or 3 words each time. So it's not like there's huge conversations. I mean, it's literally probably less than 20 words over the entire run of the Breaking Bad universe.
They're mostly just give nods and head shakes. And
yeah, it's nods and head shakes and
or
stuff.
Pointy things.
They're intentionally supposed to be these sort of silent killers just to make them seem incredibly scary.
It does work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from the guy that was looking at them and talking to them in the truck, I mean, obviously it's the shoes that set him off. Mm-hmm. But you got that sense from that as well. But I suppose for other characters like him that are talking to them and they're just giving no response and they've, you know, clearly got weapons on them and they have the intimidating look about them. They don't look like the sort of people you'd want to mess. And even when they go to that village very quickly, which again was a weird thing with the keys on the goat's head and we didn't really talk about that, did we? All of that. And even then, like, they don't, because they get changed and then they put, like, some keys on the Goat's head. Did I say donkey a minute ago? I meant to say goat. And then they just walk off. They really don't like vehicles, do they? Because they like leave the car there with the keys and then walk through a desert. Maybe they don't drink or eat either, because they don't seem to be about like how we're gonna get out of this desert. But there you go. So they're very interesting and mysterious, though. I'm looking forward to seeing more of them on this show. All right, that's what we've got for you for this week. So do you know, David, our return date? Because you'll know when you're coming
it
back and
will
and whatnot.
Be, I think, the, where are we? June, July, 27th of July, I think. Because that's 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's the Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm away for... Well, I'm away for 4 weeks, but it's over 5 weeks, if that makes sense.
Right.
So yes, 27th of July will be when we can record again.
Okay. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So October 12th is possibly when we'll do the finale.
Yes.
Which, if there is something that kind of comes back or whatever, which is like a 10 or 8 episode run, that maybe gives us a little time to cover whatever that would be. I don't know what that would be in terms of what we cover, though. So, but just in case there's anything. Who knows? Maybe AMC releases an app or something at that point. and we can do one of the 6-episode shows. That starts really soon, doesn't it? The Dead City, Maggie and Negan. Because there's been all sorts of press for it. And I've seen, like, photo shoots and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure when it's out in the US. I need to go and look.
It's
within
interesting
this week, I think.
That's out very soon, but Fear the Walking Dead's just started its last season as well, so they're going to overlap weirdly.
Yeah, 18th it starts on AMC, Dead City.
All right. So. Cool. That's it for now. Other podcasts you can expect. I will next week do a United cast season wrap up. I'm not going to sit around and wait to see what the Glazers do, because I can just focus it more on what we just did in the season. So United cast wrap up for that. Flash review when I go to see that. Gaming talk tomorrow. We'll have a bunch of stuff to talk about with Robert. There will also be possibly be next weekend when I get a chance to see Spider-Man. There's also the Asteroid City, which has got Tom Hanks in it, so it can't be bad. And it's also got like Scarlett Johansson, and it looks kind of a little bit Westworld, a little bit sort of Hello Tomorrow, Fallout-y kind
right,
of.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like that type of town, so that looks kind of interesting and mysterious. I saw a trailer for that yesterday. I can't remember who the director is, but it was somebody that, a name I recognised. Anyway, maybe see that soon. And for those of you who might have forgotten, because Pixar hasn't promoted it at all, I don't know why, Elementals is out soon.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been, like, nothing of anything of it. I'm definitely going to go and support Pixar and go and see that, because I love Pixar. So that's your updates on those things. Anyway, in the meantime, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, entertainment talk for our TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. Take a look out for that. I guess I can do Ted Lasso soon as well, because I don't know if they're going to announce like a spin-off or what they're going to do with that. I'm sure Apple is calling Jason and saying, hey, we want some more of this.
Yes.
Because that seems to be the general gist of, like, Jason can't really do it, but everyone's like, we really, really would like you to do it. So we'll see more of that soon. Entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, entertainment talk for all that. Word of mouth, social media. Let other people know about what we're doing and where they can find it. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look at that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. I need to finish off Geektown Radio for this week. I'll do that when I'm at work later. That's for renewals, cancellations, pickups, air dates. David, what is currently happening and what is going to happen to Geektown?
So, Geektown will carry on running even when I'm away. I will be working, so there will be updates still going out while I'm over there. Not sure what's happening exactly with Geektown Radio. That may go off for the 4 weeks while I'm away, but there will be some interviews and stuff going up whilst I'm off. So there will be some bits and pieces. So there will be some podcast content going up in the intervening weeks as well. But the news will be updated on the website. The air dates will keep on getting updated on the website as well. There's been lots of news and lots of TV starting this week. Geek Town Radio this week, I had Daryl from Hollywood North News on, and we talked about the Gundam series. We talked about Departure. We talked about The Idol. There's also a little bit of a preview of Strange New Worlds as well, which the new Star Trek series, which is back for season two. We talked about the Superman Legacy casting and all the gaming stuff, or a lot of the gaming stuff, including Starfield, which I also was incredibly impressed by. But as long as they can pull it off, that's going to be awesome. So yes, that's all on Geek Town Radio. On the news side of things, go and check out the main website at geektown.co.uk. That's got lots and lots of news stories for cancellations, renewals, new shows coming up, all that kind of stuff, TV news, and air dates for UK TV shows and US TV shows up on there as well.
Cool. Did you want to mention that radio thing you're on as well?
Oh, yeah. Also, if you want to listen out, I don't know when it went out, actually. I don't know whether it went out yesterday or today, but I'm also on BFBS Radio, which is the British Forces radio station. I'm appearing on their breakfast show. It's only a little sort of, you know, 5-10 minute slot, but just talking about TV and film and video games up on there. So you can go and check that out. But that's BFBS Radio as well.
Excellent. That's all that. Bex, you can find over on Twitch, Trista, BYTES, Retro Chat and Game Streams. Me on Twitch, LeeTalk UK, and YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.